This child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, it says in today's Gospel that the minds of Saint Joseph and Holy Mary were disturbed. And what had caused this worrying in the minds of the Holy Family? It was because the secret was out. As I mentioned during Christmas, the fact that Jesus was God, the Redeemer and coming Savior of all, was a secret confided to only very few persons, namely for the members of Holy Family and to Saint Elizabeth. So you can imagine the Holy Family's surprise today when they came to a temple and there were Simeon and Anna praising the newborn Savior and also giving them prophecy about the future happenings in the lives of our Savior. We are putting in front of these happenings of Holy Family during this Christmas time, because no matter how joyous this feast is, we as Catholics must keep in our hearts and in our minds that Jesus was born into this world so that he could one day suffer and die. We saw during Advent that already in the first hours, first moments of his life here on earth, he felt coldness. He had been rejected from the houses of the mighty and was doomed to be born within poverty. And the first people who came to greet him were not mighty kings or the emperors, but humble shepherds who were doing their daily jobs on the field. When we see Our Lady and Saint Joseph in this Gospel of today's Sunday, we might truly marvel together with them that this child is sent to be our Redeemer. Many of the Jews, they expected a Redeemer only for their own nation. They wanted to make Israel a great nation again. But as we will see later in the Gospels, during Lent and Holy Week, they were so sorely disappointed that they rejected this coming Messiah. And until Saint Simeon let the secret out to Saint Joseph and Holy Mary, they had no knowledge that this child of theirs would not be just Redeemer for their own nation, but to the whole world as well. But they not only marveled, Saint Joseph and Holy Mary did, but they also felt sorrow at the news of Saint Simeon, because Simeon declared to them that this child would not just be Savior, but also a stumbling block. He would be not a loving Savior, but a stern judge for those Israelites who would reject him at the foot of the cross. And while Holy Family and Saint Simeon certainly were rejoicing at the birth and coming of this dear child of theirs, they also felt sorrow that this child, who wanted nothing but good to the world, would be rejected, in other words, contradicted by so many in the world. There would become evil men who would violently attack and repudiate all goodness what this child would stand for. And in Simeon's words, we see revealed for the first time in the New Testament the role which our Savior will play, and that is the role of a suffering man. And we who live in this world even though it's centuries and millennia since the Jews had to make the choice, will they want suffering savior or great and conquering king? Also we, and not just we, but all men on earth must at some time or another in their lives make up their minds. Do they want a suffering a savior, or do they want a grand earthly king? In what comes to our Lord Jesus, everyone, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, will have to decide, do they accept him as savior or not? Complete indifference is impossible. As we learn already from our catechism, there are only two destinies deserved for our immortal souls. It is either eternal paradise in heaven or eternal suffering in hell. And also the words that this child shall be contradicted and will be a sign for Israel, they show us that our Lord's mercy is never forced upon anyone, but also that at the same time our Lord, when he shall come, and also when he shall come second time, his coming and as King and Savior cannot be overlooked or ignored by anyone. Many truly shall confess him and shall have their sins washed in his lamb, but there will be so many who either completely reject him, or they are indifferent for him, which means that they don't want him and that they do not want his salvation and grace either. And as Simeon prophesies, Our Lady too must suffer during her life here on earth. Our Lord's passion and death were truly the sword which pierced her heart. And it is truly consoling thought that which we read in today's Gospel, that as much as our Lord would suffer when he is tortured and nailed on the cross, he does not have to suffer completely on, but he had the support and he had the tears of his Blessed Mother as well. And that is a good thought for us to keep as well. If it ever feels for us that it is hard to be a Catholic, that the crosses which we have to carry are so heavy and burdensome, we should keep this in mind, that we don't need to suffer alone, but we always have help and intercession of Blessed Virgin Mary with us. And as it says also in today's Gospel, the child grew, and our Lord was first a child, and then he grew up to be a man who would suffer and died for us. Our Lord Jesus, who descended here on earth, he knows our worries, and he also can suffer with us. He was a God, but he was also a man who could feel joys and sorrow, who could laugh with those who laugh and cry with those who cry. We can never get the temptation to think that our Lord has somehow abandoned us if we also seem to face difficulties and sufferings in this life. As it is said, the world, it prepared for our Lord nothing but a cross. So we shouldn't be surprised if the world in which we live decides and wants to prepare a cross for ourselves too. Perhaps the most consoling thought in today's gospel is that when Simeon was praising that he could see our Lord, he knew that now when this miracle had happened, he could die in peace. He he had been spending so much time in the temple longing and waiting that one day he could see this newborn Messiah who would be king and savior and who would not just make everything good again, but also would take away his sins. And that is truly a remarkable example for all of us Catholics, that death does not mean the end of our lives, but on the contrary, the start of something better, namely that if we have been obeying and being faithful to our Lord on this earth, we shall infallibly be rewarded after our death in heaven. But if even if it's a consoling thought, it must also be regarded for us as a kind of a warning. In this life, we will either accept our Lord Jesus and obey him, or we will reject him and crucify him. There is no middle ground. It's either heaven or hell. And we, if we want to be rewarded, we need to be humble, confess everything what our Lord and his church want us to believe, and also do everything what the church of our Lord wants us to do, and also not do anything what the church forbids us to do. It is because these things are often so difficult that the liturgy of the church calls the day of our death as a day of wrath. It is kind of a scary thought that when we die, our particular judgment follows immediately. Then there are no excuses anymore, but we will truly see, and everything is shown to us, namely that did we believe everything we had to believe, and did we do everything we were obliged to do. But if that seems like a too stern and strict thought, let us think about Simeon and his holy death. Simeon now rejoiced that he was soon to die, because he had had the privilege of laying his eyes upon his Savior. And this thought of a good death was something totally unknown for the pious Israelites who lived before our Lord's coming. Everybody then was truly aware how horrible was the sin of Adam and how great a curse it had put over the whole humankind. In the Old Testament, when one of the servants of God dies, it doesn't speak about any glorious or joyful death, but simply states that this and this person slept away in the Lord. The death in the Old Testament was, of course, not altogether hopeless, but it still was still a reminder of the stern judgment which was to wait after their death. And that's why there were many Jews who, in answer to that phrase, simply said that resurrection would not take place. These were the Sadducees, which we read in the Gospels. And even in this day and age, there are some who say they are Christians, but deny the resurrection. And it is a strange thing to think that in the days of our Lord, somebody would deny the general resurrection, but it was because for many people, it was too horrifying thing to thought that when at their death, they have to take judgment and answer for everything they had done in life and also everything they had neglected to do in life. And it's truly only if we fear death because of our own sins, when our day of death is truly a day of wrath. But it is never a thought which is reserved for a pious and loyal follower of Jesus Christ who does his best to fulfill the commandments and is ready to humble himself and take his cross. According to tradition, Simeon was the first one to die and bring message to the faithful in the limbo of the just that now this long expectation has finally ended. Our Savior is born and we don't need to afraid anymore. We have been shown the salvation and redemption of all the nations. So let us in this Christmas time and also in this coming year forever keep in our hearts and minds this thought that if we want to be redeemed by Christ, we must also love him. And as it is so beautifully said by our Lord himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. That one who follows these words and does his best in obeying him always and is sorry and penitent of his sins, he, like Holy Simeon, has nothing to fear from death, but he can with a trustful mind and faithful heart open, wait for his own destiny, which is reserved for him in death. And instead of stern judgment, which is reserved for evil people, our own death and occurrence of that will be a day of joy when our loving Savior calls us home to everlasting heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.